Welcome to the Sargassum Podcast, where we learn about the latest ideas and concepts about sargassum. This podcast is funded by the Resilience, Sustainable Energy and Marine Biodiversity Program, RESMBIT. It's financed under the 11th European Development Fund, EDF, Caribbean Overseas Countries and Territories Regional Program. RESMBIT is being implemented by expertise grants, with primary stakeholders being the 12 Caribbean overseas countries. Let's get ready to learn together. Welcome, everybody, to the Sargassum Podcast. I'm here today with Jenna as my co-host. And Jenna and I haven't seen each other since before the holidays. So, Jenna, how are you doing? What are you up to?
Not too bad. You know, it's my second quarter of my PhD program. I survived the first one. I'm excited about that. So, yeah, just getting going and doing my rest of my core coursework. And then hopefully I'll start to do some science soon. How about you?
Exciting. at the end of December, no, beginning of December, I got to go to Barbados for a research cruise on the on a real like research ship, like the James Cook from the UK. It's a really big ship with all the fancy stuff and ROVs and things. And before that, I had a few days in Barbados and I met up with Shelly Ann, who is the head of fisheries right now. She used to be one of our podcast guests and a lot of people know her because she does the Sargassum Bulletin. And I also got to meet up with Ute Marx from Germany, who was there to get some sargassum samples. And it's really exciting because we also did interview her for the podcast, and she's back working on that project, trying to make crude oil out of sargassum. And she's starting with like little experiments in the lab to see if that method can work. So some really good news back there.
That's exciting. I love hearing updates from our past guests. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, me too. And today we actually have one of our Sargassum Champions course participants with us, Julie Schwartz from the British Virgin Islands. And she is the managing director of Green and Clean VI, and they are a recycling company located in Virgin Gorda in the British Virgin Islands. Welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you so much for joining us. The question that we first ask every one of our guests is, what is sargassum to you?
Sargassum to me, as you mentioned, I'm in recycling. So I look at most of life as a waste disposal issue. Everything, if it's alive, you got to get rid of it sometime. If it's even not alive, everything has to be gotten rid of. So when sargassum first started showing up, I don't know, 2011, something like 2011, something like that. It was a nuisance. And it was a disposal issue. So our disposal habits here are not the best, and we have dumps, and dumps are not a good use for anything. So, of course, I started looking at the sargassum as how do we get rid of it and what can we do with it that's a positive manner. So it was waste then. It's a resource now.
Yes, that's very exciting. So what did you find out? What could you do to get rid of it?
Well, I was very fortunate and that at that time, one of the very first sargassum conferences was held in the British Virgin Islands. And it was sponsored by the BVI government and other entities, which I can't quite remember. Richard Branson was a key part of it. And they brought amazing scientists and people who were working with seaweed in general from around the world for this three-day conference. While I'm not a scientist, nor am I a government official, I managed to get myself invited because I was the recycler for Richard Branson at that time. So it allowed me to meet with these people to learn about things that they were doing with other seaweeds. Like a lot of research was done with kelp and people were using it to make energy and to make animal feed and all kinds of other things. And they found this exciting possibilities of what sargassum could be, considering the blooms and everything else. Like the cattle feed people were like, oh my God, if this makes cattle food, there's so much of it and it's everywhere. The energy people were interested with biodigesters and using it to create methane and alternative energies. So I was doing my own research, trying to figure out to do with this new organic matter that I had, and stumbled onto this opportunity, which dove me into a lot of different areas. So I was able to, while they were here, collect samples from Virgin Gorda, because we had just had a huge influx. Plus, that was the year that all those influxes were coming. And I brought fresh samples and dry samples and every kind of piece of sargassum that I could pick up in five big bags off of the beach, and came to the conference that morning. And I said, okay, who wants seaweed now? So we managed to send it back to these guys who were doing biostimulants and biofeed. And that was where the first testing came back with the arsenic levels, which was really interesting because that blew a lot of my solutions out of my brain, because I'm like, oh my God, arsenic, you know, what are we going to do? The people, I was able to send it to a lab in France and a scientist who was working on fake plastic, like for plastic cutlery and stuff. And they were pretty excited, but didn't get quite results they wanted. And the most positive relationship I developed about it was a lady named Michelle, who is a scientist in England. And she did, I can't remember the name of it right now, at this, it was, they did kelp to make energy. And it was the first anaerobic digester that they ran up on the north coast of England. So a totally different thing. But she was interested. And finding resources, when you live on a little island and all you're left to is your own head and Google and, you know, whatever you can manage to suck in and pull in to come up with a disposal method that is a viable disposal method, because you can't just take stuff for free and get rid of it. We're a business. It opened up this whole world of sargassum for me. So since then, I've played with it in a lot of different manners, and I have found some effective ways to use it, or at least what I feel is effective, because we don't have real testing down here, and testing costs money, and there is no funding in the BVI. And I found a lot of ways to answer questions for people like you guys who have the funding or who are doing research in college. You just got to go out on a ship and sink seaweed to the bottom of the ocean. How exciting is that, man? You know, come on now.
Yeah.
So to find people.
We do have some funding, but we're working very hard to get that funding. It's not easy either.
It is not easy for anybody, including Michelle, who's one of the leading scientists in sea grasses and kelps and seaweeds. So it's allowed me to answer questions for people like you, because I'm here touching it, feeling it, standing in it, playing in it, showing it to children, figuring out what fish are inside, seeing if I can find the ever elusive sea bean, you know, all those kind of things, to where I manage to get invited to do fun things and I get to hear back and learn more. And hopefully, sometime in short order, I will have a viable, commercially viable, because as I said, I do try to run a business, and something that is environmentally friendly and beneficial, because otherwise it's just a big pile of seaweed that stinks and is nasty and has to get thrown away and contains all kind of whatever. But it's vital to my ocean, because otherwise there won't be any fish.
That's really awesome. And I actually didn't know all about this. This is all news to me. And you're probably one of the first studies who found the arsenic in the sargassum. So yeah, this is a lot. And you're just bringing the sargassum there so everybody can have a play with it. When you have all these scientists at your disposal, that was really, really smart, I think. So how are the British Virgin Islands actually impacted by sargassum? Like, which islands are impacted and how bad is it, et cetera?
In a way, we are very lucky because most of the seaweed gets caught down island. And so, like, it'll hit Antigua or Anguilla or St. Martin, or we get lucky and it goes north of us. Our beaches are impacted mainly to the south side. The way the BVI is set up, most of our tourist beaches are to the north side. So it has an impact on our tourism, but other than when you come in to land at the airport and you have to go set for the ferry in a bay where the sargassum gathers, maybe you don't have to deal with it if you're one of our resorts, you know? If you're a resident, whole nother story, because the beaches, especially on Virgin Gorda where it gathers, are residential areas. The way the BVI deals with sargassum is we don't really. It piles up, it decays, it emits sulfur gas. So if you live here and you happen to be unfortunate and be in one of those bays, you're unfortunate. Like I say, unless the sea switches around, occasionally it'll flush stuff from the south side around to the northern facing beaches. But I kind of find that whole phenomena amazing, how the sea washes everything around. Yeah, it's a nuisance. It's a nuisance here. The health hazards, who knows what those are? There are questions about our water intakes for our water plants, because especially on Virgin Gorda, ours happens to be located in the main bay where it gathers. And there's been massive decay, total brownout of the water, fish kill, but not in a mass kind of way, but fish kill. So there's a question of what happens to the arsenic and to all the other heavy metals and all the things. And does a RO plant actually filter that out? And you have both sides of the story, because some scientists are like, oh, no, none of that could go through a reverse osmosis situation and make it into your water. But yet there's no testing on my side of the water. So until citizens get concerned, there will probably be no testing. And I drink rainwater and have a cistern. So, I don't think we'll know what sargassum is and how it affects any of our islands for a while longer, because we really don't know. We don't know what sargassum is yet. You know what I mean? You guys are figuring it out. And I dig that. I love I would have loved to be on that boat and sink sargassum in the bottom of the sea. The whole idea of carbon capture and everything, you know, there's so much potential. What it does negative, I don't know, because especially in the islands, we don't check for that kind of stuff, you know? I don't think we want to know what the bad part is, because then we'd be forced to do something. But I guess that's like the whole wide world. We'd be forced to do something if we acknowledge the bad things.
That's very true. And very sad, because it means that the bad things can happen and nothing is done about them.
I think the saddest part is that I know that there are solutions and that they're not that hard and they don't really cost that much money in the scope of things. But, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we get better. That's why I teach students and go to school and talk to them about sargassum.
Exactly. The communicating and getting the word out is definitely something that will hopefully help at one point. And it sounds like not much is really being done right now to manage the sargassum in the BVI, especially where you are. Do you think there's anything on the horizon at all? Like, are Are officials aware of what's happening, or is everyone just kind of turning a blind eye to it?
Officials are very aware that the sargassum is a nuisance and potential health hazard, like for residents. They know it affects our economy. But the funding is not there, even though, 2011 seems like a long time ago. I don't know where those resources come from at this point in time, because it's not like we wait till it gets big enough, high enough, smelly enough. Then we take an excavator, and it breaks my heart to see how they destroy beaches. Like the sand's gone, you're down to this rock, bedrock. The purpose of sargassum is to rebuild the beach. It's part of the ecosystem of the beach building. And you just scrape that off, it hurts my soul. They have guys who have invested in those little paddle wheel boats to like take it up in bays so you could capture it beforehand. Everything in the end gets trucked to a dump and is usually burnt there. The biochar aspect sounds kind of fun, but they're not creating it that way. So yeah, no, they know. They were at the same conference. I presented on anaerobic digesters and how if we just did this, we could combine our sewage and our like sargassum, and because we have saline microorganisms in salt ponds. Like I say, there's so many solutions. It just makes me a little bit sad that people like you don't get, or me, traction that you need, because everybody wants to complain about it. But it's like a lot of things in island culture and life. I think also if it's not annoying you today, we really don't need to think about it. And tomorrow when it starts annoying us again, then we'll wonder why we didn't think about it. It's kind of the same thing with garbage. We can put it somewhere, but then if we can smell the smoke or if we can see it, we should do something about it. But if I can't smell it or I can't see it, it's just kind of where does the money need to go? The money needs to go and fix the roads or build schools or recover from Hurricane Irma, which totally like wiped out the BVI. It was an experience I hope to never repeat. So there are a lot of priorities. And in small island nations, there aren't a lot of resources. Even when you're rich island nations like the BVI is, we have financial services. It's a lot happening. But yeah, no, it's just the nature of life. I think that, yeah, while it annoys you, we should do something. And then there are people like me who are just like, but if you just give me some funding, I'll be ready for the next time it annoys you. And my machine will be set up and you can bring it all here and I'm going to make these great things. So I won't have to charge you lots of money, but I need some money to build my little machine, and I need some money to pay my scientists so that I can make sure that I'm getting the right extract or to test that my methane gas is like the right percentage or that my composites will work in. I'm making those sargassum shoes and stuff. Like that's what, when I got my sargassum shoes from the course, I was like, oh my God, which part is made out of sargassum? Because one of my components, I bet it works in here, And so then people like me could,
it's the soul of it.
People like me, we could all just make that component, all little people with a little bit of sargassum on their little island. And we could send it to the man in Mexico or the lady in Mexico so they could make the soles for their shoes, So, it's catching the ear of the right person, the person with the money. And you guys all know that story.
It's hard. And it's kind of sad because it sounds like that conference that Richard Branson and the government and so on put on was very successful in like helping you to find what kind of things work. And you put a lot of time in after that conference, of time where you didn't get paid, and a lot of collaborators' time as well. And now you have an idea, and all you need is for Richard Branson or anybody else who paid for that conference to say, wait, we had something come out of this conference, but this project needs startup money.
Yeah, I can't even. The story of my life. Same with garbage, too. You think recycling is a no-brainer on an island. That's not. If you build it, they will come is not a sustainable business model. See, I'm learning, too.
Yeah. So one day you found a worm in decomposing sargassum. You told us this story during the course, and it's really cool. And then, you know, so no more. Most people would be like, oh, a worm. But you are the curious person. So you started a full investigation and you found out some really cool stuff about this worm. Can you tell us your story?
Yes. So below my house is a bay where sargassum gathers on occasion when the wind is just right. And we had had a landing, and it's a homeowner's beach, you know, so it's not maintained by any entity except for people who live in the neighborhood. All beaches are public, but nobody maintains them except for whoever's around them. So when we have a landing, we go down, we pull it all up to high tide, spread it out a little bit so it can dry out, and build our beach. In the process of doing this, we discovered like millions of worms. Millions. It was just packed with all these earthworm looking worms. And I was like, oh my God, look at all these worms. So I was like, I think I'll take some to my garden. So I thought of them a lot like, because arsenic was already in my head, I thought of them a lot like land crabs, that you catch them and you purge them and then you can eat them. So I'm like, if I catch these worms and I like just feed them organic material for like 2 weeks or something, they'll clear out all their insides. And then there'll be these viable worms to put in my gardens. At the same time, I was reading about using worms and vermiculture for dealing with organic waste. And as part of my research in that, I had learned about people who import worms and deforestation. Like they had a big thing on the west coast up in Oregon where they imported red wigglers and they ate all the trees or something, you know. And they had a thing in the DR in the Dominican Republic where they imported these worms. Somebody from outside came in and said, we're going to do this, and they brought these worms there, and it created some like major havoc with vegetation and with their indigenous worms. And so then I got paranoid about my worms because I was releasing them into the greater, like, you know, into the neighborhood. They weren't just on the beach anymore eating sargassum. I was putting them out here. So I collected worms. I work with we have a junior college here, H. Lavity Stout. It's a community college. And I do things with them. They partner with us in a mangrove program and things like that. With Green Sprouts, our youth group and eco club at schools. And so she had students who were studying the sargassum, and they came over to interview me. I said, I've got these worms and I need to know if these are good worms or bad worms. And one of the other kids was looking at something that had to do with the decomposition of it. So they were like, oh, this is cool. Can you get me some worms? So I collected all my worm samples. I collected all different kinds of sargassum for them in varying stages of decomposition and like level of where it was in the pile. Cause the pile was like, I don't know, 20 feet high, 15 foot high. It was a huge pile of sargassum. And they sent it for identification. And it is a worm that comes from South America, an earthworm from South America. Who they float around on the well, they come out of South America in all of the waste that comes out of the rivers. So hopefully with these people applying for some Darwin grants and other grant funding, they will be able to get further information on the worms and what they are doing in my environment. I don't find it to be a solution for disposal of sargassum, because there wouldn't be a 20-foot pile if those worms at the bottom were eating it fast enough to get rid of it. So, but we always need earthworms for farming. So, yeah, I look forward to learning more about these worms. And in the meantime, I'm kind of letting Aragon play with the worms and them do their thing so that I can find out more before I put them out in the real world in my garden. I just kind of leave them down there for now. But I'm waiting. But the interesting thing I learned, and it was during the course, was there's some other kind of worm that just lives on sargassum. Or maybe it's an eel or a snake and I'm confused. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a polychaete, so like an underwater worm.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too. A wealth of like all kinds of useful information, huh?
Yes.
So yeah, Julie, you joined us for our Sargassum Champions course. What else did you learn? Anything? What did you like about it, or what kind of improvements do you think we could make?
I enjoyed the course very much. I did learn some things. I love the resources that you guys provide and gave us the opportunity to look at, like, because, you know, like I said, I watch the podcast because I always want to learn about new things that people are doing, because each little bit of information just gives you a little bit different perspective. And sometimes it's just that one little tiny thing that changes the end result. Like during the course, we were talking about what you can make out of sargassum. And I don't remember. Oh, about it being bioabsorbent. What's that? Well, there's a fancy word for that. I learned that. No, I didn't learn that word. I knew it, but I can't remember it now anyway. Must not have learned it very well. Bioremediation. That is what I was trying to think of. Yeah. So I collect cooking oil and I use it as fuels for different parts of the process of recycling. And we had a bit of a cooking oil spill. We had a leakage and some containers break. So I went down and got the sargassum and tried using it wet. I talked about it during class, and then Evelyn's like, oh, you really should dry that out. So then I tried it dry, and it is a much more effective bioremediate at absorbing things to take away this pollutant so that I could dispose of it. The resources were really cool. It was nice to be able to have access to, like, look at the where they show the maps and the floating and the guidance. Those things were really cool. And I just enjoy the interaction and talking to people about it, because, like I say, you learn something new every day. And I think what you guys do is really cool, because it is a problem. Sargassum is a problem, and it's going to be a big problem someday. I don't know when that day is, but I don't think naturally it is going to get less. And as it continues to get more, the infrastructure of island life can't really handle it. And unless you have a commercially viable and sustainable solution, you know, it's going to go to a mountain and get burnt, or it's going to just sit there and smell or corrode your fixtures in your house, or, you know, all the other things, because they you don't have unlimited resources to get rid of it, and you don't know what to do with it. And so I really enjoy that exchange with people from all around the Caribbean and all over the OTs who are all experiencing the same thing, because we're all doing different stuff.
Yes, that was definitely my favorite part as well, like hearing from everybody how it is on their island and seeing how some things are different, some things are the same. And you actually, you did a course, or you did some teaching for the 12th graders about sargassum after the course. And maybe you've already done it before the course with all the knowledge you had. So what do you talk about when you talk to these 12th graders? What do you get them excited about?
I have been taking kids down to Sargasm for a long time. And yeah, it meets with all kinds of reactions because Sargasm is bad. And we've done a lot of different things, mostly checking biodiversity previously. So trying to find critters, which is always great fun because we found a huge variety of them, like baby lobsters, you know, lobsters from St. Martin, garbage from St. Martin. That's what comes up in our Sargasm is critters and trash, plastic trash in general. With the 12th graders, because I'd just done the class with you and because we just had this huge influx, huge. And we had water supply issues on our island and they had to shut off city water. And for whatever reason, a lot of people are dependent on public city water nowadays. They don't build cisterns like they used to, whatever. It was affecting the water supply. So it had become like an issue that our community was struggling with. We were talking about dealing with, you know, and the reason they said we had a water supply issue is because of the Sargasm and that it was decaying, blocking the intake, creating issues, blah, blah, blah. So I was going down to the beach already to take pictures to upload to the Epicast thing, EpiCollect. And had done that several times. And there was this huge shift in the weather. And what was just massive, packed in like 30 feet out from shore and piled up on shore several feet high. All of a sudden, it just got sucked out, man. And it got washed out and it went away. And I was like, look at that. Mother Nature just cleaned the beach for us. So we have been talking about
it. Yes, that does happen.
We have been talking about it as part of our agricultural science class. We're talking about natural fertilizers, manures, and other ways that we could fertilize our plants without using chemicals. And always the discussion of Sargasm as a fertilizer because, oh, it's a great fertilizer. I just don't know what it's fertilizing my plants with. It always comes up when you're talking about Sargasm. Just put it on your plants. Yeah. So we're discussing it. And of course, I am very reserved and rarely speak freely with my children. So I'm like, yeah, you know, that'll kill you. Like, I don't care what they say. They have proof now in Belize. The tomatoes have arsenic in them. You know, like, you know, there's the evidence is finally being there so that you can come back and say it's not just me being nutty or it's something that I've heard or I'm just paranoid about. It's real. So that led on to more conversation. And so we did a field trip on the day that it had sucked everything out because I needed to go down there and see how it had sucked everything out and take more pictures to upload to EpiCollect. And because my kids should be interested in these kind of things. So fortunately, the beach is like, you know, a 5-minute hike from school. So we took a field trip, took a hike down there. And had really interesting conversations. And you know, when you say things are sad because of where we're at, 2 days a week, I deal with children and teach agricultural science and we do eco club and conservation and talk about the earth. And there is hope because kids have really insightful questions. And the way they looked at it, and we talked about methods we could use, like the output of the water plant to actually create a machine that we could put a conveyor in the water. And as the seaweed came in, we could lift it up. It could fall into a dumpster, you know, like they designed equipment to remove the nuisance in their heads and in talk down there on the beach. We talked about, we dug and we found worms. We talked about the worms. Just making them think about it as more than, oh my God, seaweed has landed and is going to stink. And now it is making our water not work. Is my goal. And I feel I achieved it that day.
Nice.
They have tests and they have like questions on their test about Sargasm. It's something that I reinforce. You gave me resources to speak with them, videos to show them. I collected lots of good little tidbits to share and pass along from the course. I thought it was an excellent course.
Awesome.
Thank you
I
for
love
inviting
that we
me
can...
to participate.
Yeah. I think this is a great place to finish the podcast as well on this like really hopeful topic of how the kids bring hope when you teach them about it and how they are innovative, because that's what we need when we're working with sargassum. So thank you so much, Julie, for being our guest. And it was so interesting hearing a lot of new things I haven't even heard during the course from your work. And I hope that our listeners also enjoyed the conversation we had.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun talking with you all. And I look forward to continuing speaking with you and watching the podcast to learn new things. And, you know, I have ways to contact you now. So,
yeah, we'll be in touch for sure.
And also, Richard Branson and everyone who put that conference on, if you're listening, shoo some money over to Julie because she has some wonderful ideas.
Yes, please do. So, Jenna, what did you think of our conversation today with Julie?
Yeah, Julie has some really great ideas, and I love what a forward thinker she is. I was really excited about her work with kids, how she's getting them out into the field. And I think that's such a neat experience for them to be able to get their hands like literally dirty and, you know, be out there kind of looking through all the stuff. And I love that her story kind of started with worms. It's just such a fun story. I love how positive she was.
Yes, and she found so many worms, like not just like one or two, like there was just many, many worms. I didn't realize that. Because I found one worm before, I thought that was special, but she found so many more and she went on a real hunt to figure out what's happening with them. So I love that story, but I also love her story about how she, back in the days, like quite a while ago, she went to this conference about what to do with sargassum in the BVIs, put together by Richard Branson and the Virgin Group. And that she really went with it. Like she met a lot of people there. She made connections. She kept in touch. She sent samples. And they really came up with ideas of what to do. And now she just needs the money. So, you know, this money should come from somewhere, especially from like the Virgin Group that, you know, does a lot of sponsorings like that. They, you know, they put together a conference. I really think they should have some kind of fund for starting money for people like her so that these ideas can be put into action.
Exactly. It's so cool to see how inspired she was by that conference and how well she networked and just kind of ran with it, like you said. And there's got to be somebody out there to give Julie some money.
Yes. So if you have some money, if you are an investor, you don't know where to put your money, we can get you in touch with Julie. Just let us know. So,
well, thanks for being here to learn with us today. We really appreciate your time and hope that you learned right along with us.
Yes, thank you everyone, and hope to have you listening in pretty soon again. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today and learning with us from our guests. If you want more information about what our guests talked about today, please check our show notes for links and information in our archives. And don't forget to like and share our podcast with your friends.
The Sargassum podcast is made possible through funding by the Resilient Sustainable Energy and Marine Biodiversity Program, RESEMBIF. Financed under the 11th European Development Fund, EDF, Caribbean Overseas Countries and Territories Regional Program. RESEMBIF is being implemented by Expertise France, with the primary stakeholders being the 12 Caribbean overseas countries and territories. The podcast is produced by Paola Diaz, Mario Garcia Rodriguez, Cleo Maridakis, and Elois Lopez, and it is hosted by Francisca Elmer, Jenna Contucchio, Florence Menes, Cleo Maridakis, Evelyn Salas, and Paola Diaz. We will be back in 2 weeks with another exciting guest. The music of the podcast is from the song Them A Pray by Drizzle, the Road Runner, an artist from Roatan. Follow him on Spotify or YouTube for more music.